morning. As the prophet Jonah said, welcome from Wales. Good to be with you this morning. Good to fellowship together. Good to get around the Word of God. God is doing a new thing today, and He's getting His people ready, not for what we want Him to do, but for what He wants to do. We don't fit God into our plans. He wants us to fit into His plans and purposes. And that means we've got to change. And we've got to learn to do things God's way. God's way is one way. One way is Jesus. Therefore, everything we do, everything we say, every thought that we think needs to be taken captive to Jesus if we claim to be Christians to follow Him. The Bible says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Therefore, the foundations need to be re-explored and relaid in our lives to give us a strong foundation for a faith that will see us through until we meet Jesus face to face. Many troubles and trials are coming upon this world, and we need to be ready for them, and we'll be more than ready for them when our lives are built in faith upon Jesus. You know, I've been preaching now for 30 years in full-time ministry, and what I've discovered is that people are not always Christ-centered. Sometimes people are church-centered, and they build their lives around the church. But when the storms come, they collapse. Some people build around self. They're self-centered. Whatever you say, whatever, it all relates to self. Their faith is self. It's self-righteousness, self-centeredness. Everything is revolving around self. They're self-centered. But there are others who are Christ-centered. And God wants our lives to be built upon Christ. Everything must be built on Christ so that we become Christ-centered. Self has to go to the cross. The church is the family of God, but it's not the kingdom of God. Some people have come far enough to come to church, but they haven't yet come far enough to enter the kingdom of God and meet the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and be broken of the self life, and the self must be replaced with Christ. God hasn't come to improve our lives. He hasn't come to improve you. He's come to remove you and replace you with His Son, Jesus. Now, today is Pentecost Sunday. But before we go to Pentecost, we need to go back a few steps. Too many people are going to Pentecost too quick, too fast, too soon, and they don't last. It is atrocious to see the casualties of the Christian faith. Especially people who are in the body and being promoted, whether to worship, leadership, deaconship, Sunday school, whatever. It is a minefield, a battlefield. When God wants to do something, the first thing He does is apply blood to a spoon, a bowl, a dish, a human being. He never accepts anything unless the blood has been applied to it. In the Old Testament, everything that they brought in the temple, cleanse you with blood. On the altar, sprinkle it with blood. To accept a human being, He said, put a lamb to death and spill its blood. You see, God is such a righteous God that He can't deal with unrighteousness without dealing with it effectively and thoroughly and applying blood. The blood of Jesus. There was a race, a long marathon, 26 miles. And there was a white line. All the people lined up in the white line. Somebody blew the whistle and they were off. You know, they ran the 5 miles, 10 miles, 16, 20 miles. It came to the end of the race, 26 miles. And when they finished the finishing line, they found they were all disqualified. They started at the line, but they should have started at the starting blocks. Can you see? They started from the wrong position. God takes us all the way back to the foundation of Jesus. If we don't start there, we'd get disqualified at the end. No other foundation can a man lay except Jesus Christ. He has to be our bedrock. He has to be the foundation of our faith. We have to come to Jesus. So before we go to Pentecost, what are we doing this weekend? We'll finish at Pentecost later on this evening. What we're doing this morning is reversing. We're not going forward, because sometimes to go forward, we've got to go a few steps back. Remember them guys in the Bible that stretched out their hand and touched the ox cart where the ark of God, and God killed them? Shall I tell you, David got frightened and he put the ark in a guy called Obed-Edom's. What they did, they reached out too prematurely. If they had reversed back and read God's instructions, they would have discovered that God said to Moses, you don't put your hands of flesh on the things of God. You don't help God out. Oh no, God haven't come to fit into our plans. We've come to fit into his plans. And God's plan said, put the ark on long poles that are not to be touched with human, and you make sure that one person is carrying in front and one at the back. God is holy. But they quick to move forward that they brought death to people. So we need to go back into reverse and start at the starting blocks. Some of you may be Christians for years, but we still got to go back to our foundations. When God called me to Treorchy and told me to restore a building and said, I will restore my people. So we looked at the building and we thought, what are we going to paint the walls first? What are we going to do first? And I remember thinking, you know, people had ideas. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. And I took it to the Lord. I like to take every thought captive to the Lord. Lord, not what I think, not what people in the church think, but what do you say? And when I went to the Lord said to me, not the building, the foundations. The foundations were unseen. How many of you know we look at what is seen, but God looks at what is unseen? What we couldn't see was what was beneath the floorboards. And we can't see what's beneath and inside our hearts, but he can. So instead of going up, we had to go down. I thought, well, what's the foundations like? We ripped the floorboards up and we found that the foundations had eroded. Every bit of work we did would have been undermined if we hadn't done the foundations. We spent the first 9 months in our chapel working on foundations and we stored foundations. All the money we spent, all the work we spent was covered over with floorboards and it looked like we was back to square one. But I want to tell you, we laid a foundation. Christianity is the same thing. If the foundations are destroyed, everything else will be futile. Our faith will collapse. If we want the faith of Jesus and do what Jesus promised, we've got to revisit the foundations. And the foundations of the Christian faith is not Pentecost. We've got to go into reverse and we've got to go back to the cross. And then we've got to look at what happened at the cross. We revisit Calvary before we go to Pentecost. Say first Calvary, then Pentecost. How many of you had a good breakfast this morning? We did. We did, and a few of you, we had bacon, eggs, and Penrith sausages. Lovely. But before we had breakfast, I got up and I went in a thing called a shower. You know where you strip off to the bare bones, you're naked in the shower, and my wife, not together, separately, but we went in it, and you know, it's the same procedure every morning. You know, the shower, you strip down to nakedness, and then you wash clean, and sweat from last night, as that Indian curry started to work out through my pores. And, you know, we needed a good flush out this morning. But I had a wash. How many of you had a wash or a shower this morning? Didn't you feel better? Some of you didn't put your hands up, but maybe you'll have one later. And when we come to the Lord stops us in our Christian, believer, make believer, or unbeliever. It's the same thing. Stop. I am Almighty God. Now, to the shower, you need a wash. You need to be cleansed. This world that we live in is polluting. In our thinking, in our thoughts. You've only got to put the TV on. When I was a boy, 60, I remember that, and I was 5 at the time, so that you'll figure out how old I am. But a man came on the telly, and he said, one day, women will be bearing their naked breasts, he said, on television. And everybody said he was a lunatic. He was a freak. Today, they don't just bear breasts. Anything and everything goes today, doesn't it? Slowly, the foundations have been eroded in society. But they've also been eroded in the church. The original power, we got to get back to the original gospel. And the original gospel is this. First, you get washed. When the people came to God, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. They had to clean themselves up to present them before God. The Bible says it like this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We can't be forgiven by all this modern counseling and all these other things. What we need to do, we need to get back to Calvary. We need to come back to Jesus. And we need to come to Him to be cleansed from the inside out. Whenever they offered a vessel, they first had to wash it. Remember the Pharisees came to Jesus? He said, look. He said, you wash the outside of the cup. It's like having a shower. I mean, you're all looking nice and clean this morning. In fact, you all look like Christians. But we can't be fooled, you know. He said, don't just wash the outside of the cup. First wash the inside. The doubt, the corruptness, the lust, the sexual immorality. The tempted, what's going on in secret that nobody knows about on the outside? Because we walk like Christians, we talk like Christians, but God's so wise, He knows a devil in disguise. Oh, yes. You see, when he went to the synagogue, everybody there should have been right with God. But the fact was, nobody was right with God. And even a demon starts shouting out in the synagogue with the people of God. Jesus, when he went to the temple, and he didn't react in the flesh. Oh no, he looked at the temple the day before, and the next day he got a whip. And he went into the temple, and he started knocking tables over. And he started driving out the money changers. You see, some people are not Christ-centered. They are cash-centered. Money is their God. Every time they preach, they mention money. Usually it's the American version. And they preach about cash. Jesus is mentioned to give us your cash. So he drove them all out to the temple. He took the people back to the foundation that God must be first. Before anything else and everything else. And when he drove them out, God in his power came down. The presence of God descended. The Holy Spirit came after Jesus cleansed the temple. And then the Bible says, the children and the lame and the sick, they all poured into the temple and he healed them all. Why? Because the power and presence of God was there to heal the sick. How many of you want a move of God? I pray daily. We've established prayer meetings back in Will. I mean, not me, But God's leaning on people's heart to get back to the foundations. Fresh cleansing, fresh prayer. There's a fresh move of the Holy Spirit come into our land. And God told me about it in 1990. He said there's two moves of my Spirit coming to Britain. The first is Holy Spirit evangelism. Buy a tent. Go out into fields and parks. So I wouldn't be preaching in places. I guess I'd be preaching on fields out there. I saw hundreds, thousands of people come to Jesus in fields and parks and public places. But then he said this. Maldwin, he said, there's another move of my Spirit coming to Britain. And he said, it's a move of the Holy Spirit, and this is revival. But this is for the church. You know, God has moved me from the inside to the outside. But in his latter days, he's moved me from the outside to the inside. And I found out I'm preaching to the church, getting them ready. And this is what he said to me. This is the final move of the Holy Spirit, getting my bride ready, purifying her, ready for my coming. I'm not one of these prophets that try to guess dates on all that. I know Jesus is coming, but I don't know when, and nobody does. They're all false predictions. But he is coming. And do you know what he's coming back for? For his church. A bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, compromise, without sin. He's coming back for the purity, the power will be released when the church comes back to purity. First, we must be clean. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. That's what he's saying to the church today. We are the temples of God. He's come to visit us to reestablish the right order, but use the foundations. So I want to lay this foundation squarely this morning. John the Baptist, let's go back before Calvary to John the Baptist, and this is what he said in John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus come in, verse 29, and said to him, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Later on, verse 35, he said, the next day John saw his two disciples, and he saw Jesus passing by. He said, look, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the second one, look, the Lamb of God. What's going on here? The first time, he points the disciples to what Jesus has done. What Jesus is going to do. Take away the sins of the world. The second time, he points Jesus to who he is. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes our first foundation is to have the removal of our sin by receiving a fresh cleansing through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. That's the foundation stone which God is pointing us to this morning. Everything is cleansed. Everything must be put under the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no forgiveness. So to be cleansed inwardly, we need to have the blood of Jesus applied inwardly. The blood speaks to God on our behalf. When Jesus went to the cross, he shed his blood in seven places. Before he went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the struggle and the pressure was so great. He said to his disciples, couldn't you watch and pray with me for 1 hour? He needed support, but they were all sleeping. Sweat, the Bible says, were like drops of blood falling from his forehead. He shed blood, the agony of choice, the agony of decision, making the decision to go through with the cross. He never flinched, he never backed off, he never slacked off. Jesus set his mind like flint to go to Calvary, knowing that his blood must be shed. Jesus' blood is different than your blood and mine. Blood has been tainted by sin from our fathers, our forefathers, back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden listened to the wrong voice. Remember, they followed God. They were fine with God. Eve was the only woman who never knew sin. There's only two women in the Bible that never knew sin. Did you know that? Never experienced sin. Taken away. It's the first and the last. We experience sin, all of us. But she never knew sin. Adam and Eve, until they started listening to the wrong voice. And when you listen to the wrong voice, you make the wrong choice. And they compromised. And they fell. Now watch this. As long as they were walking in the Word of God, walking with God, their hearts were fine with God, they walked and talked with God in the garden. Can I just borrow you a second? As long as me and my wife are in harmony and unity, how many of you know we're kind of, oh, it's just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Until one day, I said, we're going shopping to Asda's. And the wife said, no, we're going to Tesco's. Suddenly, there's a division. No, we don't shop in Asda's. We shop in Tesco's. It's cheaper in Asda's. But I want to go to Tesco. Suddenly, there's a dispute. And I'm going to Asda's and she's going to Tesco's. How do we solve this problem in a Christian marriage? Don't forget now we're pastor and wife. And suddenly we're going in different directions. So, what does a good pastor do? He reminds his wife what the Bible says. Why? If submit to your wives in everything. That's what the Bible. It doesn't say submit to your husband. Submit to your husband's in. That's what the Bible says. So are we going to compromise? No. She's coming to Asda's like a good pastor's wife, isn't she? No, because there's something in her like she's rebellious. Anyway, thank you very much. But I forgive her. Now, watch this. Whenever we side with God and His Word and stand on His Word, we walk and talk and have fellowship with God. Whenever we compromise, whenever we disagree with God, we find that God takes a step away. When Adam and Eve sinned, or Eve sinned, God stepped away. They hid. Whenever you sin, you'll find God will step away. But whenever you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus is applied and God will step back near. We come near to God through the blood of Jesus. Once I was talking to a Catholic guy down in the Rhondda, and this was his gist of it. I believe in Jesus, yeah, I baptize with the Spirit. I said, you, why have I got such unrest in my heart when I speak to you? Why is it within me? Something is wrong with your experience of God. And I started questioning Him. I'm asking the Lord, what is it, Lord? The Lord says, you haven't just got belief in me, but He believes in others. I said, tell me, what do you think about that? Oh, Buddy. He's telling me all the teachings about Buddha. And then he starts telling me about Mary and all the things. I said, Mary is not a virgin. He said, well, of course she's the Virgin Mary. I said, she's not a virgin. You can't be a virgin after you've had several children, six children. She didn't just have Jesus. I mean, her and Joseph had a good time because, I mean, they bred faster than the Emersons. And they go pretty quick, don't they? And his faith in the Virgin Mary was being eroded. And this is what he said to me. He said, you're wrong. All roads lead to God. That's what the problem is. No, they don't. They don't know. Only one road leads to God. And that's a narrow road and a narrow way. You see, if I got on the wrong road and headed to London, I wouldn't be up here today. I got to go down the right road to get to Penrith, and you've got to go north. You can't go south. One way, and that one way was north. You get this? You see, whenever we got Jesus and something or somebody else, God steps away. But he wouldn't accept it. So I said, I'll tell you what, go home and say to your wife, honey, I found another girlfriend. I said, and just see what your wife says. He said, okay, I'll try it. The next week, I saw him and his head was all bandaged up. I said, what happened? He said, Marlon, I did what you said. I said to my wife, I found another girlfriend. Her name is Susan. She's lovely. He said, she didn't say anything. I went to make a cup of tea, and he said, a rolling pin hit me on the back of the head, make a dent in my head. I said, if a wife could be so jealous, how much more is God jealous? He got the point. He turned from Buddhism and all his other beliefs. I said, there's only one way. That way is Jesus. Only Jesus shed his blood on the cross. The others had sinful blood. Every human being has sinful blood, including you and me. But Jesus didn't have a human father. He had a divine father, and his blood is pure blood. Our blood is impure blood. We can't be cleansed with human blood. We must be cleansed with precious, pure blood. So when Jesus was on the cross, the blood came out of his forehead. Then they arrested him. And then they nailed him to a post. And then they whipped his back again and again and again until the flesh came off and the blood started to leak from his back. He's cleansing human beings with the blood to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. That's what the shedding of blood is. The back, the Bible says, is by his stripes or his wounds that we are healed. But there was, it didn't stop there. And he took spikes and nailed one into his right hand. Oh, how many of us have used our right hand for the right things? All of us. You can use your right hand for the wrong things. You can bless people. And you can hurt people. For the right hand. You can give things. You can steal things. Our hands were pierced. His hand was pierced to cleanse us from everything that we put our right hand to that is sinful to God. And then the left hand. And then the right foot. The legs were pierced. But before they pierced his hands and feet, they took a crown of thorns and put it on his forehead and pressed it in till the blood was dripping down to cleanse us from every wrong thought we thought. You thought, every thought you thought this morning was a pure thought. No one hand up this morning. Doesn't that put us all in the same boat? He sees what's on the inside. He sees what's underneath. We all showered, we all dressed, and we all looked to each other, but that's the way human beings look at each other. So he's now bleeding from his head. But he didn't stop there. He bled on the cross. And a Roman took a spear, a pointed spear, and punctured his heart. And out came water and blood. This is the most vilest thing that is offensive to God, is the human heart. You know, people today, they say to God, oh, God, oh, change my heart. Cleanse my heart. God will never, ever do such a thing. God has to remove the human heart because it's so deceitful. It deceives the human being. And it tries to deceive God. And God said, I haven't come to improve you. I've come to remove your heart of stone and give you a new heart of flesh and put a new spirit within you, the Holy Spirit, that you may live. You see, he takes away the old and he gives us a new heart. He gives us the heart of Jesus. So that we start acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, speaking like Jesus, and doing what Jesus has called us to do. Why? Because Jesus is inside us. It's not a performance. It's not a show. It's not a put on. It's not a front. It's the fact is we just live in Jesus out in our life. It's not hard work. It's not overwork. It's overflow. It's God in us, working in us and through us. It's us walking and talking with God. It's not us saying, I'm going to ask this, you're going to test goes. It's God saying, I'm going this way, and say, so am I. It's the pastor who follows the master. Oh, can I say this? If you follow a pastor who follows a master, you won't end up as a spiritual disaster. So the blood is shed. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the Old Testament, they slay the lamb. They offered the blood to God. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. I'll forgive their sins for a year. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Moses was told to take a lamb to slay its blood and to paint it on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. His judgment will pass over any human being who's applied the blood. The blood of Jesus doesn't take away our sins. No, no, no. The application of the blood of Jesus took away the sin. Every house that didn't apply the blood, judgment fell. The firstborn was killed. You've been born of the first. Did you know that? You've been born of your parents, but you must be born twice. Born of your parents, which will be put to death. Born of God, which has eternal life. We must be born again. Everybody who's only born once gets to die twice. Everybody who's born once, born twice, only dies once. Unless Jesus comes back and we don't get to die at all. Isn't that fantastic? I believe I'm part of that generation. Old Testament prophet, he never saw death. God took him alive. Everything in the Bible is pointing forward to something. Remember Rahab? She was a prostitute. They were in the city, and God's people came into the city, and she hid them. She did God a favor by hiding the spies, Joshua. She said, we know judgment is coming. It's going to wipe us all out. Would you promise me that God wouldn't wipe out my family? And this is what he said. As long as you put that scarlet cord in the window, you hang that scarlet cord from the window, and when God's people see the scarlet cord, everybody behind the scarlet cord would be saved, whoever is in the house. But if they the other side of the scarlet cord, if they're the wrong side, if they're in the street, no. It is void. Everyone that's in the household of God, in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, behind the blood of God will be saved. But anybody the wrong side of the blood of Jesus will be destroyed. That scarlet cord was pointing to the scarlet cord of the dripping blood of Jesus that would drip from a cross. And God, behind the blood will be saved. Everybody the wrong side of the blood will be lost. Every religion on this world, in this world, their leaders die, they stay dead, they are sinful blood, they can save no one. Salvation is only found in Jesus and Jesus alone. There's only one way, and that one way is Jesus. The blood. I like the way Robert Lowry wrote that hymn. This is what he said. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He got a revelation. It is the blood and nothing but the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin. I like what John said. The blood of Jesus removes all our sin, or another version said, takes away every sin. The blood of Jesus removes all our sins. So how do we get cleansed? We'll come to that in just a moment. First of all, I want to say this, that what the blood of Jesus does for us, we need to be motivated to be cleansed. You see, usually parents got to say to their children, they breakfast, go and have a wash first. They don't want to wash, do they? You wouldn't know anybody like that, would you? Wonder what? Have you washed behind your ears this morning? You haven't, no. My mother said, Marlon, have you washed your neck this morning? Mom, I'm hungry. Give me that. Get to the bathroom and wash. I don't want to wash. God is something similar. He says to the church today, wash yourselves, cleanse it, clean. We want the power, but God wants the purity. Blessed are the, because they shall see God. Pure in heart. Which means that if we approach God after living out our lives, we'll be like those long distance runners, and God says, what happened, God? No, you apply the outward things. First apply the inward things. First cleanse the inside of the cup. Wash the inside. You see, for unbelievers, they must be cleansed with the blood. For believers, we must be cleansed by the blood. For make-believers, they must be cleansed by the blood. Everything must be cleansed by blood. So what are the benefits of the blood? Number one, the blood gives us peace with God. The hostility is over. When I see the blood, I pass over. The blood is enough to satisfy God's heart. Today, we have people who have no peace of mind. That's the problem. They have no peace in households. That's why we have so many divorces. They have no peace in the political arena. That's why we have so many wars. But when a man is at peace with God through the blood, he has peace of mind, peace of heart, peace rules and reigns in his family. Peace flows out of his life like a river. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Whenever Jesus showed up, peace ruled and reigned. Peace, my peace I give unto you. How do we find peace? Through the blood of Jesus. Number two, the blood of Jesus draws us near, brings us near to God. In other words, we can't come near to God because we've had a good week. We've done good things. We've done some good work. I've done some good things. No. We come to God on something more stable, more solid, a foundation called His blood. When we come to God, Lord, we come on the grounds of the shed blood of Jesus, and instantly we have access to God. In the Old Testament, they had somewhere called a holy place and the Holy of Holies. And this is how you approach God. You came, you washed your hands. Say, washed your hands. Say, washed. Can you say wash? Wash. Hands. Ears. Neck. Everything. Yeah, that's it. Then they go in and then they sprinkle blood in something called the holy place. But God was beyond the holy place in the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, everything was covered with blood. There they'd go. And if the priest had sinned, they used to tie a rope around his leg. So if this guy through the year is sinning sexually, immorally, oh, is it a word for leaders today, isn't it? God will just zap him. I'll tell you what we've lost today. When we lose the power and the message of the blood of Jesus, we lose the fear of God. But when the fear of God, when the message comes, when we get back to the original gospel, we get back to the original power, we get back to the original peace with God, and then we find God starts showing up in meetings. Isn't it wonderful when God shows up in meetings? He showed up in one meeting in the New Testament, and it ended with the funeral of two jokers. How many of you know every pack of cars has got two jokers? And every church has got a few as well. Oh, I went a bit quiet. This couple was called Ananias and Sapphira. What they did was, they sold the house, they kept half the money, but it wasn't the issue of the house. It was this issue. They lied to Almighty God. And Peter said, you've lied to God. You haven't lied to me. You've lied. You see, when God shows up, revival shows up. But so does the fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God came upon the old church. But it didn't result with the church becoming less. The church grew in numbers, growing in the fear of the Lord. They started to realize you can't play games with God. He sees everything. Now, therefore, they fled to Calvary to be washed in the blood of Jesus, because through the blood of Jesus, we have fresh cleansing. Judgment is removed. Condemnation is removed. We are a fresh cleansing. So it gives us peace with God. Next, it gives us forgiveness of our sins. John said it like this, in John 1 verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, watch this, this is sin. Where does sin originate? In the heart. Watch this. You as a man. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, fabulous, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And then he looks. And then he sees a woman. Miss Slick Chick. Miss Slick Chick walks into the room. And suddenly, his eyes of lust light up like light bulbs. He starts washing and shaving. And he starts spraying himself with scent. And he starts doing the rumble. He starts going to the gym. Get rid of his belly. He starts breathing in. It's a bit painful, I know, holding that belly in. But he starts doing strange things. He starts talking tidy. What's going on in his heart? Today, we are seeing leaders falling like flies. In Wales, I met a leader, always a leader of what he called the outpouring. And, you know, I kind of met him, and the Lord just triggered off my alarm system. My alarm's off. I don't trust this man. The second time I met him, Marvin, I'm planting 50 churches. I'm this, I'm that. I said to my wife, that man is going to fall sexually within 3 months. We found out while this move of God is going on, he's cheating on his family, and he's got affairs going on left, right, and center. And there's not a single person that I knew could discern what was going on. Everywhere around the country, but we are going to where? We are going to the outpouring. You see, God uses people who are clean on the inside, so that the Spirit can flow to them and through them unhindered. Otherwise, it's a good show. And people love a good show, don't they? Except God. God don't like a good show. God don't like the outward appearance. He looks at the inward heart. The next blessing that comes from God is that our hearts are purified. The blood of Jesus purifies us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Then we find that John said that we have been freed from our sins through the blood of Jesus. You can read about in Revelation 1. freed. The blood of Jesus speaks today. Did you know that? It's alive. Take the blood out of your body, you can't speak. You die. Put the blood in. There is life in the blood, the Bible says. Abel, though he was dead, God said his blood speaks out, cries out to me against his brother Cain. The blood of Jesus speaks today. It is alive. There's life in the blood. And the blood speaks to God and he cries out righteousness. Righteousness, holiness, purity, power. There's power in the blood. So God accepts the blood of Jesus, but he don't accept our blood. But he accepts human beings who've been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the blood of Jesus once it's applied. How many of you know that paint is both useful and useless? I know you can't figure that out, but let me tell you. Imagine this wall is sticking. Yeah, well. So you got the paint. The paint is no good unless it's applied. It's like a brand new wall. The blood of Jesus is powerful, but it's only powerful for you and me when it's applied to the doorpost of our heart. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. The blood is for God. Everybody in you is saved. Everybody out there is lost. Do you want to get saved? Come into the kitchen. Come into the kingdom of God. Because the door to the blood is Jesus. I am the door. Blood has been applied to the door and we come through the door. It's a small door, it's a narrow door, it's Calvary's door. And when we come through the door, we are washed in the blood of Jesus, purified, cleansed, made peace with God, drawn near, hearts purified. There's another one. We are justified through the blood. That's what the Bible says. What does it mean to be justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. That's why the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, pardon received. It is the blood of Jesus applied that cleanses us from all our sin. I want to tell you, I was a sinner of the 10th degree. I know what sin is. I had my Bachelor of Science Arts degree in sin. But when I came to Calvary, when I came to Jesus, I want to tell you, I went down to my knees a sinner. And I got up washed, clean, purified. I got up a son of God. And I had the joy of the Lord. And I still got it. I know I do this sometimes. That's not to show other Christians up. You see, happy is a man who trusts in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. And when you're under the blood, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the blood. So that's the benefits. Some of the benefits. The blood was shed for God to satisfy his righteousness. The second thing was this. The blood of God was shed for the human being so that our sins would be taken away and remembered no more. Forgiven, forgotten. There is no remembrance of your past sins through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus wipes out every single memory of your sin. But God deals with unbelievers and believers differently. How many of you know that? To the unbelievers, they can sin as much as they like. They don't know any difference. When I wasn't a Christian, I sinned prolifically. I mean, I did have 5 girlfriends on one time. I can't help it. I was good looking in those days. But when I came to Jesus, I discovered that now there was something within me or someone in me he didn't like to sin. And so if I did sin, I felt terrible. He made me feel terrible. When you sin, guilt follows, you feel terrible. It's not because you've sinned, it's because you've grieved the Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And that's how I learned to walk with the Lord, to get it under the blood and learned that we don't sin. But if we do sin,
We got the blood of Jesus to fall back on. That's why a believer can be restored who's gone away from Jesus. Because when he's away from Jesus, the blood of Jesus stops working. Once you walk away from fellowship, God steps away from you. You're on your own. No, no, we didn't do that. John said it like this. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our... You see, to the people outside who are unbelievers, their call into the kingdom is through the blood. Once you're in the kingdom, now we find for the blood to go on working, we got to remain in fellowship while we walk in the light, as he is in the light. That's the difference. If we walk in the light as he is, we have fellowship with other believers. The soul, when we listen to the wrong voice, the tempter, and we go into sin, we stop walking in the light. God steps away. And now we're on our own. And now people start losing their faith. They start backsliding. But when they come to their senses and return, come back to fellowship, come back to Calvary, come back to the blood, receive a fresh cleansing. Have you noticed how quick? Praise the Lord, brother. Isn't it? You've just been away for 7 years. You've been away, you've been sinning. Yeah, I lost all, I don't know what happened. But they're back. They're back in fellowship. Can you see? The blood works differently. It's an appeal to unbelievers. It's a necessity for believers to walk in light. And I'm nearly there. Somebody said amen. That's okay. Soap. How many of you got soap? How many of you know soap is useless to cleanse you? Unless you apply it to your body. What you do is, I know you're adults, and I know what you think I'm talking to as children, but you know, this is what you do. You get a bar of soap, okay? And you put it in your hand like that, and you wash it on like that, and put it in the water, and all these like bubbles come up like that. And then you look at it like, what's that? And then what you do, you put it in your ears like that, and then this one then, like this, see, and you wash it like that, and then you find, like, it's like magic. The dirt is gone. Mommy's happy, and I can eat my dinner. Hallelujah. Thank God for soap. When we apply the blood of Jesus, God says, come in. Let's have fellowship. I want to talk over your life. You know this area of your life where you're reading all these books and novels and romantic things and you're neglecting the book of life? This book. I just want to address that problem. I just want to give you a desire to read my word. Because you know that other stuff that you're reading, that's just feeling your emotions and your feelings and putting your life on sand. So read the word of God that puts your life on solid rock. Yeah. Do you know your relationship with your wife? You know that little shouting that's going on in secret? You know? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring your sins before me and remove them out of the way through the blood. And finally, the blood of Jesus is hidden today for one reason and one reason only. It's not in the devil's interest to preach about the blood. He hates the blood of Jesus. And I'll tell you why. The blood of Jesus Christ overcomes the devil, destroys the works. Jesus has defeated him, but he hasn't yet destroyed him. The blood of Jesus silences the devil. We overcome the devil by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. How do you become a Christian? By calling on Jesus, by putting your faith in him, not in yourself, not in anyone else. If I say to Carol, I want to marry you. And I want to marry Susan and Wendy and Jean. It didn't work. I had to finish with them all. I mean, Carol, I marry you. Enter into a covenant. I've been faithful to my wife ever since. Shall I tell you why? Because I found God was faithful to me. God is faithful. And when God sees the blood, he passes over. When the devil sees the blood, he gets frightened. And we say, ha ha, I've conquered you through the blood of the Lamb. I am not the devil's victim. I am the devil's victor. All demons must flee before me. Oh, the devil's... What's the matter, Mrs. Jones? That old devil, he's been chasing me all week. I said, the devil can't chase you. She said, he has. I said, he can't run. What do you mean the devil can't run? I said, he'd be defeated. Oh, never mind. He got it. Oh. Well, my time is gone. Tonight, I'm going to share with you step to Pentecost, the cross. Once you've got the blood to cleanse away all our sin, the cross has come to remove us and replace us with Christ. Tonight, you're going to be set free from addictions, everything. Not by counseling, by getting a revelation that on the cross, Christ died, you died, we died to sin, we died to the law, we've been set free, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We first get what? And then we find God gives us light revelation. We discover that we have been put in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is put in us. Then we get filled with the Spirit. And then we go out into the same world. And we find that now we become effective and fruitful, which is God's purpose for every believer. Your purpose and my purpose is to produce good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. No more lust, now it's love. No more strife, now it's peace. No more gloom and depression. I've never seen so many ministers depressed. I've been all around this country, and you go in the office, working hard, and he's done a lot of places. Oh, you poor dab. What on earth are you doing? You're in the wrong job. This is for conquerors. Hammers. This is not for people who are depressed. I mean, if the pastors are depressed, what's happening to the people? I say, we're the happiest people on earth, don't you know? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We victors. Gotta get rid of this victim mentality. And we gotta take on the boldness of Jesus. Rise above the circumstances. Stop blaming other people. I asked the man last night, he said something in the meeting. I said, something gone wrong with his life. Oh, you might be here this morning, are you? I don't want to embarrass you, but if you are, let me tell you what your problem is. When I asked him what the problem, it was other people. You know what that's called? Playing the blame game. The blood is not applied to people who play the blame game. Saul blamed the men. God removed him. There's no room for blame. There's no room for gloom. When you say, David, Lord, I've sinned. You see, it's personal. I accept responsibility for my thoughts, decision. Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, I confess my sin. He didn't say to confess your sins. Confess your, my sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Lord, I'm sorry. Do you know what that does? It releases you from judging and condemning other people who do sin. Because you know you're set free to set them free. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, before we finish and take communion this morning, I think it'd be good if we just spend a minute or two visiting the shower room to be cleansed. Anybody here this morning like to be cleansed? Okay, you might be embarrassed to put your hand up, but I want to tell you something. He's you. So we won't embarrass you. Just ask you to bow your head. Close your eyes. Sovereign Lord, we come to you in the name above all other names, the precious name of Jesus, for a cleansing. Purify my heart, O Lord. Now the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's the big one. It must be uprooted from all our hearts. The self-centered life is not the Christ-centered life, where things must revolve around you. You must be put to death. That it's no longer you, it's no longer I, it's not what you think, it's not what your opinions are, it's not what you are thinking are, it's not what your feelings are, it's not what your emotions are, it's the will of God. What does God say? That we want to be God-centered. Jesus didn't come to serve Himself. He came to sacrifice Himself so that He could serve and do the will of God. So say, Lord, I confess all sins to do with self. Ooh, nobody did. You're all free from selfishness. Praise the Lord. Lord, well, I'm just going to just move in the Spirit as He leads me. Lord, I confess the sin of lust. Would you like to get that out of your heart right now? Just say to the Lord, Lord, I confess the sin, Lord, of these thoughts that I have, Lord. Misapplied love. Lord, I confess the secret sins, Lord. I confess the sin of neglecting your word, neglecting prayer, neglecting fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, I confess the sin, Lord, where I spoke to others without applying it to myself. Please cleanse me in the blood this morning. Lord, Lord, this hurt that I've been carrying in my heart, please remove it through the blood of Jesus. Lord, the sorrow, I choose, Lord, to receive your forgiveness this morning through the blood. I choose to be cleansed this morning through the blood. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Lord, I confess the sin of pride. Pride. Lord, I confess the sin of self-pity. I confess the sin, Lord, where you are really my God. No, Lord, I'm a joker. I put money first, God. I serve it. I give my time to it. Money's my God. But Lord, you as well. I want you to go to heaven. Why didn't you confess that right now and put it right with God and get on a good foundation? You can't serve God and money. You got to make God your God. I was in a meeting last night, and a gentleman at the back, he said that his granddad or somebody worked all their life. They had $81 million or whatever, but inflation it. And it was only enough money to buy a loaf of bread. One day all our money will be gone. It'll just be you and God. Serve God with money. Don't let money be your God. Say, God, I confess the sin of putting money before you. Come on, you need to speak it out. We're too concerned with money, not concerned enough with God. Jesus put God first. Money must be a slave, never a master. Lord, I confess the sin of not you putting you first in my life. But from this moment, Sovereign Lord, I make you my God and Lord of every area of my life. I give you my heart, my life, my wife, my children, my home, my work, my business, my money. Everything I hand over to you, Lord. Please work in me and through me by the power of the blood. Now let me just deal with a sensitive area. An area of sexual immorality. An area where, so Lord, I've been feeding. Somebody, you're feeding a root. Porn. I confess the sin. I turn away from these images, Lord. I turn to you wholeheartedly, Lord. Purify my heart through the blood. Would you all just say this morning, purify my heart through the blood of Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, just say, Lord, give me a new heart, a new beginning, Lord, a new start. I repent, Lord, and I put my faith in you alone. Thank you, Lord, for the value of the blood of Jesus. We'll be right back.